Imagine white hair, white linen suit, big mustache. Those are trademarks of a humorist whose real name was Samuel Clemens. He left us such classics as The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Innocents Abroad, and many other literary works. For years, actors have portrayed Mark Twain, often using his own words, to craft an image of an erudite and cynical social critic. But imagine Mark Twain with a guitar, surrounded by other musicians, telling his tall tales in song. That's what folk singer and actor Jim Post likes to do. He's touring now with his second show about Mark Twain, called Mark Twain and His Adventures Out West. NPR's Cheryl Corley prepared this report.
Mark Twain's Adventures Out West begins with a song about the Mississippi River.
Everybody knows it's a mighty big river. Flows from Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico.
The Mississippi River is key to much of Mark Twain's life and his work, but the role of the Mississippi is smaller this time, as folk singer Jim Post takes to the stage as Twain. The stories about young Samuel Clemens' days as a tenderfoot in the Wild West come from Twain's autobiographical travelogue, Roughing It.
If you read Roughing It, you will find that I took no liberties. I lifted his words and just put them together. I take great pride in some of the places where I used his words and thoughts completely. But in other places, I stretched him out just the way he would have stretched himself out.
Jim Post has been a singer and songwriter for years. His 1960s hit, Reach Out in the Darkness, is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But his life has been devoted to folk music, and more recently, performing as Mark Twain.
Well, I wish I could say that I was brilliant and thought about it. But as I looked more and more like Mark Twain, my audiences kept saying, Jim, you should do Mark Twain. I'd say, well, you know, it seems to me that Mark Twain never sang, so people expect to hear me sing. And someone said he loved to sing.
Twain also played guitar, banjo, and piano. And with that information, Jim Post, with his full head of white hair and thick white mustache, steps on a stage and portrays a robust and singing Mark Twain. Singing, says Post, may not have been Mark Twain's forte on stage, but he often sang when he made social rounds with his wife Olivia.
Oh, he loved to punish people with his singing. If he was at a party and he didn't like the party, and he, particularly since maybe he had tried to talk Olivia out of him going, he would stand up and start singing Jubilee music. And of course, Jubilee music was his favorite, spirituals were mine. I must have sang in 200 Southern Baptist revivals by the time I was 20. And so it was my favorite music, too. And so he would stand up and just sing, and people would think, well, how nice, how nice. But he'd sing for an hour. He'd sing for an hour. He'd really punish them.
Luckily, the music in the show is more of a delight.
The northern lights are shining, and they're falling on the southland. My childhood trembles in my hand. I'm so glad I don't have to cross the Mississippi. Or I do believe it would break my heart. I do believe it would break my heart.
During the premiere at North Light Theater in Skokie, Illinois, Post was joined on stage by his wife Janet, who plays cello and piano. Andrew Style was on rhythm guitar, Peter Seaman on fiddle, and Saul Brody played the harmonica. Together, they wove the musical context as Post told the stories about Mark Twain's years out in the far west.
Every story he heard in that trip, he threw it in there. He just, that book is jam full of nonsense.
Like this tale about a dog retrieving a stick thrown by his master.
John Hanix will take that stick and he'd fling it way out in the river. That big old dog take off like a small pony, jump into the river, swimming swiftly down the current, tracking that stick until he caught up with it. Then he'd plunk it in his big old mouth. Then he'd turn and he'd swim back up the current because he was an idiot, dog. It never occurred to that dog to swim to the shore and walk up the bank.
There are lots of other stories about Twain's short stint as a Confederate soldier, his decision to head west with his Unionist brother Orion, the newly appointed secretary of the Territory of Nevada. There's Twain's failed attempt to buy a decent horse, and his overall efforts to shuck his eastern ways when he and his brother make it to Carson City.
I do believe that the only reason God created man in the first place, he was so disappointed in the monkey. But in Carson City, it was a close call. They made fun of my dress, my pants, my eastern cut coat, my boiled white shirts.
Jim Poe says he had a wealth of material to choose from in Roughing It, and he laughingly calls Twain an incredible exaggerator.
If something happened within 10, 20 miles of him and he liked it, it happened to him. You know, and I think the only really guaranteed story in the whole book of Roughing It was the snow story on the desert. And he guaranteed it happened just like that.
We had planned well for this journey. We had no matches. We had read in Western books when cowboys in desperate situations with no matches with fire gun and the sagebrush, and it started up. When we had the pile up and the snow away from it, we all leaned in, including the horses. Mr. Ollendorf, bam, shoots into it, and the horses disappeared like snowy ghosts. Our last chance of survival was gone. The obvious was upon us. Mr. Ollendorf said, fellas, we will not live through this night.
Of course, Twain and his companions do survive. After spending a frigid night in desert snow, they awaken to find themselves just a few feet away from shelter. Most often, Mark Twain is portrayed as a pessimist in his later years. Although pessimism may be present underneath some of the stories of Roughing It, it is the fat humor of Twain's Western years that Jim Post portrays. His Mark Twain is happy and robust. Post will continue to perform Mark Twain's Adventures Out West in his hometown of Galena, Illinois, before touring it throughout the country. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
Maybe I'll live through an Indian raid, and I'll lose my skull. I'll show my scars. And